This is the Blue and Orange Experience, your official podcast of Morgan State University Athletics. I'm Lamont Germany. This week on the Experience,
finishes with the left hand.
32 points, James the Bomb, 35 on the night for Winston Towns. Three ball falls, his sixth of the night, 38-point night for Tabs. What a night for Winston. Who is this guy?
My name is Winston Tabs. I'm 6'3", 195, grad year. I'm from Suitland, Maryland, and I went to St. Mary's Riker High School.
Top of the key, three, strokes, the three ball.
Say my name, say my name.
Winston Tabs, Winston Tabs. Meanwhile, the Lady Bears on the road taking on the Big Dogs.
From Colonial Life Arena in Columbia, South Carolina, it's women's college basketball and the number one South Carolina Gamecocks return home undefeated as they welcome the Lady Bears of Morgan State.
Morgan State University Wrestling at home taking on the University of Maryland. And a couple of wins for Morgan over Maryland. Jake Marsh at 165. Court Van at 174. And on the Blue and Orange Spotlight, men's basketball. We're talking to Will.
Will Thomas, 6'6". I'm a junior, redshirt junior, Baltimore. High school, I went to Melville, Lake Clifton, Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
All that and more on this week's edition of the Blue and Orange Experience.
Deep ball, down the seam. Got a man out there, makes the catch.
Here come the Orange and the Blue.
1, 2, 3,
let's go!
Knocks down the three ball.
Lined in the right field, all the way to the fence. Rounding second, heading for third.
Who you play for?
Morgan State!
First stop on the Experience, the hardwood. Men's basketball, Morgan State style. Bears had three in a row at home, two of the three in the win column. A loss to Longwood, 88-54, but wins over UMBC, 92-80, and Virginia University Lynchburg, 120-50. In that UMBC win, Morgan State's Winston Tabs dropping a career-high 38 points.
We've been working on the big screen a lot more so we can get some open shots, and I just knocked them down early and just kept it going throughout the second half.
Head coach Kevin Brodus offers this assessment of how the Bears are progressing.
We have one tough schedule. You know, we played the number one team in the country, Arizona, number, I think, 16 team in the country, BYU, and then we got UVA coming in, top, I think they're 19, and then we got JMU, first time in probably school history that a top 25 team coming here, and I think they're at 20. No, they're at like 17.
Next up for the Morgan men, a road trip to North Carolina to take on Campbell on December 18th. The Morgan ladies are coming off a win, a 65-42 win over UMBC. Three of the Morgan ladies in double figures. Joelle Johnson with 12, Gabby Johnson with 11, Day-Day Payne with 10. Before the win over UMBC, a trip to South Carolina for the Morgan ladies to take on the number one team in the country, the South Carolina Gamecocks. Morgan fell to Carolina 104-38. They went up against a team that is as good as it gets and a coach who is as good as it gets in Don Staley. Coach Staley was asked why she schedules teams in the MEAC, teams like Morgan State.
The reason why we continue to play them is because when I was at Temple, we couldn't get a top team to play us besides Rutgers and Tennessee. Those were the only two coaches that really gave us an opportunity because it hurt them more than it hurt us. I always try to, you know, and it's scary too, but I always try to schedule people who are elevating. We're trying to elevate their program and move their program in the right direction.
Next up for the Lady Bears, a trip to Florida next week to take on Stetson in the University of Central Florida. On the wrestling mat, the Morgan State University wrestling team at home taking on the University of Maryland. First time against a Big Ten opponent for Morgan Wrestling. They fell to the Terps 35-6, but did get a couple of wins. And head coach Kenny Mundy says he's encouraged by his team's progress.
We knew, you know, wrestling a Big Ten school, kind of how they're physical, right? And we just wanted to try to match their
their intensity, watch their physicality. But we should have won four matches. We left four matches. The first, the 25-pounder, should have had that one. I think Kingsley is a better wrestler than that. So I think, you know, four matches, and, you know, that's six out of four, right? So I think we'll get better, man. I think Maryland's a team that they will be a rival. They'll be a rival of ours, right? So they're right down the road. So it's good to have them in our gym. And but the kids, man, we're just going to get better every day.
Coming up from Morgan State Wrestling, they're taking on the Tar Heels of North Carolina. Indoor track, Morgan State participating in the Joe Handelman Invitational hosted by Princeton University. Junior Jackson Waller placing second in the men's mile, crossing the tape with a personal best of 4:43.03. Isaac Rankin earned second place in the high jump with a leap of 1.85 meters. And on the ladies' side, Tia Jackson captured the long jump crown for the second consecutive meet, recording a leap of 19.1 and a quarter. And Abigail Fisher also claimed the top spot, winning the mile run in a time of 5:34.64. Time now for the Blue and Orange Spotlight. In the spotlight this week, men's basketball. Morgan State University junior Will Thomas. Will, let's start by going back to when you first came to Morgan State, and that first year on campus, you couldn't play. You had to sit out.
What was that challenge like the first year when you got here and you couldn't play?
Any basketball player that has to sit out that first year, including myself, is going to be tough. Because that's what you do growing up. I started at 6-7 years old, so like I never took a year off, really. Like, so that year, the first year was struggle. But I mean, I had a lot of great vets on my team that like guided me. I had great coaches, a great coaching staff, and great teammates. I mean, that got me through it. So it was tough. I will say this, it was tough, but I feel like I gained a lot from it. Plays, practice, how to win, how to play, how to just move around as a college athlete.
You've been playing basketball your whole life, man, and then somebody just took your basketball away from you. I knew that had to be tough.
That's how I felt. That's exactly how I felt. I mean, I will say this. Any athletes out there that's like coming from high school or, well, going to high school and going into college, I will say this. Focus on academics because a saying that they've really been saying since I was 6-7 years old is you need grades to play basketball. And I always thought that basketball was going to get me by until I had that humbling experience, which was you didn't meet the grade point average, so you got to sit out this year and get the grades up. And that was my humbling experience, for real, for real. That was really a humbling experience. I didn't really think that the school aspect was like that serious. I always thought school was serious, but when it hit me, that's when it was like, okay, it can hit anybody.
Did you learn about the game, and did you learn about yourself when you had to sit out like that?
I learned a lot about myself. I mean, I had that year, who did I have on my team? I think I had Troy Baxter. I had Troy Baxter in that year, and he was like my vet. Like, I came to him about questions for anything, off the court, on the court. He was my vet. Him, DT, Leek, Malik Miller, all of them was my vets at the time. So it was like they was guiding me through everything, telling me how the first year was, it's going to be a learning year for me and all that. But I learned a lot about the game of basketball. I came in and I'm thinking, just come from high school, next step is going to be easy. Well, not easy, but I didn't think I was going to have to adjust so much. Like, the pace is way quicker. It was way quicker when I first came from high school. It was way quicker. The physicality, like I said, the speed, the attention to detail, skill level, like, everything was up.
Your high school journey here in Baltimore, you taught me something a few days ago. I didn't realize that it had been multiple high schools. Merville, Lake, Mont Carmel. Talk to me about that high school journey right here in Baltimore.
It was a long journey. It was a long journey. So I'll give you the rundown. I've told you, but I'll say it on the podcast again. I started off my ninth grade year at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I withdrew from the school from, I withdrew the first like 2 weeks of the school. I don't think I was ready for private school. Honestly, I wasn't ready for the strictness. Strictness coming from a city kid, city school and all that, and then coming just going straight into private school where everything was different. You had to tuck your pants and you had to get a certain different cut. You had to like cut the beard off, and it was like you act. It was totally different for me coming from high school, but I mean coming from middle school. So that happened my ninth grade year, and then I ended up going to Lake Clifton. 2 weeks in, I played JV. made it to the JV championship that year. We ended up losing to Edmondson, though, but it was a good year for me. And then I decided to go back my 10th grade year to Our Lady in Mount Carmel. I decided to go back. We actually had a great team. I'm going to say a few names. We had Jordan Jones. Yeah, that was a good team. We had Terry Nolan that led the way. We had Christian Evans.
Okay.
We had some good guys. That was a year that it was legendary because we were the second best team in the MIA at the time. The only team we couldn't get over was Mount St. Joe. That happened that 10th grade year. We ended up going second, like I said, in BCL and MIA, and we was like top 10 in like Maryland at the time. We was a pretty good team. So, and I had a great role on that team. I was like 7th, 8th man, and I put up a few numbers and stuff like that. But that was the 10th grade year. And then 11th grade year, I started back out on Mount Carmel. Then I was like, I don't know if this is really right for me. So then I just went to Mervo for my 11th grade year, and I had a good year that year. I won first team all Baltimore City. We didn't win a championship how I really wanted to that year, but we played a elite Prairie Hall squad. They had Laquil Harnett, Anthony Walker, and Anthony Higgs. That was a trio that I tried to beat myself, but I mean, 36 points wasn't really enough.
Oh, okay, you dropped 36.
36 against them, and we had a chance to really win the game. We really had a chance to win the game. I took the ball out. The play was really supposed to. I get in there. It was probably like 5 seconds left. I was supposed to pass it in, get it back, and just go boogie. 5 seconds, but unfortunately, they had 3 6-8s where I couldn't really see over top the inbound. So I tried to run different sides. I gave it to him. One of my teammates, they hit the ball. One of the bigs came down, blocked the shot, and I thought the game was over right there. Because it was tied up. We fouled them. They hit the free throw.
Oh,
man.
Wow.
And I think that was the year they actually won the 4A championship, I believe. So I really thought that could have been mine.
That could have been you.
That could have been a great year because, like I said, it was my first year coming to Mervo. Honestly, I shocked myself that game. I didn't think I had 36 in me, but when I hit the first shot, it was just rolling and rolling and rolling. And then, like, the 6'8s, all the 6'8s on the other team didn't even feel 6'8 to me. I saw the rim, and the hole just got bigger, and it was just like that. So the next year, the following year, it was a bad year because I had a Jones fracture in my foot. So I missed that whole entire year. Like my first year in college, I had to sit out that whole year. I mean, I understood of not playing and just watching my teammates and stuff like that. But at the time, high school-wise, it was a struggle for me because, like I said, that following year, the year prior before that, like I said, we just almost beat Prairie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them left. Anthony Walker ended up going to he went to some prep school, but the two other forwards ended up going to college. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got 4A, I got the state locked. But then I ended up getting hurt and I had to watch my team. I was sidelined the whole season. That was a year because I was very depressed. I'll be honest here, like I ended up skipping school some days, not just because I wanted to. It was just like it was so hard knowing that basketball was taken away from me, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And then the year I came back, I ended up first team all Baltimore City, and we ended up beating Delaney the first playoff game, and then we ended up playing Parkville, where I had like 20-24, but we ended up losing to them. I will say this on a podcast, I'm kind of happy that was the COVID year because
Parkville would have probably ended up winning the championship that year, and that would have ate me up. I'm kind of glad that the season ended for them. I'm joking, but that year was, I thought I was going to get me another championship that year too, but I mean, it wasn't the cards played out for me. So
when did Morgan State first jump on your radar screen as a possibility? Were there other schools that you were looking at beyond Morgan and maybe even beyond Baltimore?
Morgan State was actually in the gym the day I got hurt.
Oh, wow.
When I was in high school. And I don't think they knew how it was going to end up playing out after when I got hurt. But they were there for that the first time I got hurt. And Morgan State was honestly on me. I wouldn't say they were on me heavy because, like I said, like coming out of high school, I couldn't really go to a lot of places because my GPA wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of offers. I had, coming out of high school, I had Coastal Carolina, I had Towson, Southern Utah. Like, I had Coppin. I had, like I said, I had Morgan. And none of the schools really took me because I couldn't play. Man. I couldn't play that year. Well, they took me, but wherever I ended up going, I would have had to redshirt my first year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I'm going to redshirt my first year, why not stay close to home? Why not feel comfortable and stuff like that? So, yeah, I came to Morgan State my first year, redshirted, and I'm still playing right now.
When you finally got on the floor, that year that you had to sit out comes and it goes, and now you finally have an opportunity to get on the floor on a collegiate level. What was that anticipation like, that, hey, I'm finally going to play? And then what was the transition like, transitioning the game from high school to college?
The transition, the speed was way different. The court's bigger, the three-point line is bigger. It took me about 2 years to adjust to the three-point line. I know that's crazy. I know that's really crazy, but it took me a little minute to adjust the three-point line to really feel confident in my shot. Like I said, the speed is way different. Everybody's stronger. Everybody's bigger.
Compare, contrast for me those teams when you first got on the floor. Not the year when you weren't playing, but when you first got on the floor.
My first year, I used to compete with DeTorian Ware a lot in practice. Like Malik Miller, I feel like I was competing with him every single day. That was just in my mind because I was like, I always seen the best and I always wanted to just be the best. So it was like I studied them and I used to go at them every single day and stuff like that. So I really, really wanted to end up being the best. So like I said, I studied how they worked out. I studied how they carried themselves off the court. And like I said, Malik Miller is Morgan State since he's been here. So, and like I said, that was a guy I really looked up to and really, like, just wanted to model myself after, because he was a good guy on and off the court. And everybody seen him as a leader, and I seen him as a leader as well. Like, I asked him questions, like, when he was here and we used to play on the same team, I used to blow his phone up 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Like, anytime that I really wanted, just be like, yo, what you think about this? Or how you doing this? And like I said, the first year I didn't really play that much, so I'm watching him. So I'm studying him to see, like, when I get in, I want to be like that. I'm looking at DeTorian Ware scoring 25 and 20 points every night and seeing him in the gym afterwards and seeing him in the gym before and wondering, like, I eventually want to get to that. So I'm studying these guys. I'm studying the forwards at my position and stuff like that. We had a lot of great guards, but I felt like I modeled myself more as, like, the forwards because I feel like we can, resemble ourselves. So DeTorian Ware and Malik Miller were two of the guys that I actually looked up to a lot.
Last year, we were down at Howard. Yeah. Early in the game, Malik goes down. And at the moment, I just had a bad feeling. Now, nobody knew exactly right at that second, but I just had a bad feeling about how that was going to eventually play out. And, of course, as we all know now, he never did come back from that injury. But after that Howard game, the next game was Norfolk. And everybody's like, dang, no Malik. Who's going to step in? Who's going to step out? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you dropped like 27 and 11 against Norfolk. Talk to me specifically about that game. Yeah. And was the motivation at all, hey, my man is down, somebody got to pick this thing up? Did that play into that at all when you got on the court against Norfolk and there was no Malik Miller.
Right, okay. So I want to give Malik Miller his credits and his flowers. Before he got hurt, in my opinion, obviously we had Burke dropping 30 points and stuff like that. Isaiah Burke was dropping 30 points a game and averaging about 28 and stuff like that. If we really want to talk about overall and player of the year candidates, I think, in my opinion, I think Malik was my favorite. Not just me being biased, but what he brung. What he brung on the court, what he brung off the court, et cetera. Like I said, he was all around. He was averaging 20. And I don't want to be wrong when I say these stats, but this is what I kind of remember. I think he was averaging a double-double with at least 20 and 10 with maybe a few steals, a few blocks. Like, he was doing everything. Like, he was the heart and soul of our team. So with him going down, and also you can't forget about Khalil Turner. Khalil Turner was right on the team as well. And both of them were starters. Both of them were starters at the wings. And once they both went down, Coach Kevin Brodus kind of, I'm not going to say gave me the keys, but he gave me the confidence in that position where it's like, okay, two of the guys that were in front of you are not here anymore. What's next? Who's next? And, I mean, I've always thought, and I don't want to discredit them or say that I'm better, but I've always thought that I was as good as the next man. Wherever, if it was my first year or my second year here, me confidently, I always thought I was as good as the best man. So, that year, I'm at that Norfolk game. I don't know. Something was just like, all right, I started, and I'm like, these the champs? And no disrespect, I'm like, these the champs? I'm like, okay, I got to show them something. And it's full-packed crowd.
Yes, it was.
So I'm like, okay, I think I get the first bucket or first two buckets. Well, Isaiah starts getting hot, and Isaiah Burke always talked to me about, like, especially when the two guys went down, he always would talk to me and call my phone and be like, all right, I need you to step up now. Like, these guys are not here. I need you to step up. He always been telling me that for the first part of the season. Like, honestly, I feel as though the team always knew I was the best scorer on the team. Like, regardless of, like, the Burke scoring 30 points, like, I'm not saying I was a better scorer, but I feel as though I had more to my bag and et cetera. Like, but when they both went down, it was just like, I got to step up now. And a week prior, I was in the starting five lineup, and I'm just in practice. I'm feeling good. The game comes, and it's like, ooh, it's Norfolk. And you know they just won the championship before
that. Right.
So it's kind of personal. So it's like, are they going to come in our crib, and I ain't going to do nothing? I'm going to just lay down? And I'm like, nah, I can't do that. So they came in here, and this is my first time playing a lot of minutes against Joe Brown from Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I always thought that I was as good as the best man in the MEAC.
Player of the year.
They came in here, and I was getting rolling. I'm rolling. And Isaiah Burke is still doing his thing. And I'm like, ooh, if I could get hot and keep this going and this whole game, we won't lose. So that's exactly what happened. I started getting hot. I hit a few middies. I started getting to my bag. And I think the stats are said. After that, it was pretty much history. 27-11 and hitting big-time threes at the end of the game. And just, that was a big confidence booster for me.
Now, the next level, Will, is consistency.
Yeah, that's a big C word.
You bring it against a certain opponent on a certain night.
Right.
And now the challenge is to try to duplicate that on successive nights. Right. What is that challenge, that hump, that great players get over when they're able to bring that level of performance on every night?
I will say it starts in the gym. It starts in the lab. Like, I didn't really want to tell anybody this because it's like, this is not personal, but it's like, I don't think you should really say anything, but it's like, I haven't really taken basketball seriously until like now. Like, I'm staying in the gym late. I'm in there in the mornings and this stuff like that. So I feel as though anything that it really starts from your work and what you put in, because you're not going to be able to do something on the court that you don't practice thousands of times and stuff like that. Like, you're not just going to come on the court and just, you ain't work on your game and you just drop 25 or you just drop 27. Like, I feel as though it really starts with your work. And I feel as though me being here, Kevin Broders has put that, the big C word, consistency, all the coaching staff has put that big C word on me, because I feel as though, and this is me being confident, I feel as though if I'm consistent with my play, I feel as though I'm easily one of the best players in the NBA. That's just how I feel, and I feel as though I got to prove that. But the word consistency is the big question for me, and I am going to try to change that. So I'm going to try to be in the gym as much as I can to make sure those things don't happen, where it's like, okay, he scores 25. Okay, I'll just give you a number. He scores 25 tonight, and then we end up playing somebody else tomorrow, and it's like, nah. Like, and it's like, it's a drop-off, because it's like, my whole coaching staff and my team knows how good I can be, and they preach that to me. Like, they're yelling at me every single day, and it's not a bad thing. They're yelling at me every day in practice. They're pushing me every day in practice, make sure I make these runs. And that's the also big thing for me, too, is runs, like, conditioning for me. Like, I feel as though conditioning wise in the game, I feel like I'm good, but in practices some days I'm slacking some days. And when it comes to like sprints, just the sprints and stuff like that, and I feel as though if I can get that up, I don't really have a weakness besides defense, slide my feet, but I feel like I've been getting better at that as well. So I feel as though if I can get those like weaknesses down pat, I won't have a weakness. I think I'm easily one of the best players in the NBA.
When I watch Will Thomas play, how can I put it? It's kind of like when I'm eating Chinese food.
Right.
I don't feel filled up.
Right. I respect
that. I like Chinese food, but don't fill me up. Right. I just feel like there's more to you than what I'm seeing on the floor that I haven't seen. The best of Will Thomas.
Exactly. I don't think the best of Will Thomas has been seen yet. I will say that. But he will be staying in the gym late nights, early mornings, to make sure Morgan State family, Morgan State fans see the best of him consistently.
Knocks down the beat. Will Thomas with 5 first down points.
Put back by Will Thomas goes down. The bucket and the bruise.
Yes, that was that all right.
Thanks for sharing, Will Thomas. That closes the curtain on this week's edition of the Blue and Orange Experience. I'm Lamont Germany.